Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
But ultimately, you've got to be prepared to just kind of make that decision on the spot. If you overanalyze everything and overthink it, you're never going to knock out that first deal and you're never going to get to that second deal.
Before we get into it, I want to introduce you to Groundbreaker, today's sponsor and partner. They are an all-in-one suite of tools for small to medium-sized real estate syndicators. They've got a special focus on real estate syndicators with 1 million to 100 million assets under management. They help you increase productivity and investor satisfaction by automating fundraising, reporting, and investor relations through elegant and powerful workflows built by syndicators for syndicators. Groundbreaker will help you scale your business without the need to scale your overhead. So they're going to help reduce your costs because of the admin team that won't need to be as large. And they're going to help you reduce your risk of data breach because of the security systems that they have in place. They'll help you increase your revenue by growing your assets under management because you're going to be allowed to focus on the things that are most important, like business growth and operations, not those administrative logistics. And ultimately, they're going to help you elevate your company's brand and professionalism and investor experience because your investors are going to enjoy having this platform with all their information versus however you're currently doing it. Three things specifically about Groundbreaker I personally like. One, super easy to use from an investor standpoint and from a general partner standpoint. Two, it allows investors and general partners to fund electronically, meaning that a limited partner can complete their entire subscription and funding cycle without leaving the platform. And on the general partnership side, for distributions, you can set it up so that you can trigger bulk ACH payments within the platform. And then last thing I really like about Groundbreaker is it's cost effective. It's healthy to the bottom line. Their basic plan allows sponsors to sign up for as little as $100 per month with no limits on deals or investors. And you can read all about the pricing on their website. Speaking of their website, it is groundbreaker.co/Joe, J-O-E. And when you go there, groundbreaker.co/Joe, you're going to get access to a pitch deck that the Groundbreaker team created so that you have a template should you want to use that and customize it for your own deal. So go to groundbreaker.co/Joe. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Best Ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast where we only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into any of that fluffy stuff. With us today, Tyler Caglia. How you doing, Tyler?
Good, Joe. Good to be here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and it is nice to have you here. A little bit about Tyler. He's a full-time project manager managing multi-million dollar projects for a civil construction company. He's based in Clovis, California. He's been investing for 10 months. He currently owns 3 long-distance single-family rentals based in Ohio. With that being said, Tyler, you want to give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and your current focus?
Yeah, Joe. So I've always been interested in real estate, but living in California, as we all know, it's very expensive and the conditions can be unfavorable for landlords. So about a year ago, I discovered the Best Ever podcast.
I recognize that.
Yeah, as well as Bigger Pockets. And I read, as everyone seems to do, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was hooked from there. So I kind of realized how accessible real estate can be, and I was determined to jump in and right away started buying long distance properties. And here, 10 months later, I've got 3 in Columbus, Ohio.
So talk us through how you ended up there.
I've kind of got a 5-step strategy that I outlined a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Not just for finding Columbus, but just for deciding on my strategy overall.
Okay, please. Yeah, good.
So I kind of started with education, obviously, which there's plenty of great books out there, podcasts, like I've already said, and I've done a lot of research. I identified a strategy was my second step. So with California being so expensive, I wanted to go long distance. I think most people are familiar with the BRRRR strategy, which I felt like was the most attractive. And I wanted to self-manage before I hired a property manager so I could understand the whole process and what I'm looking for. For funding, I took out a HELOC on my primary residence.
Okay. Are we still on number 2, identify strategy, or are we on 3, funding?
Sorry. So number 3 would be funding.
Okay.
So I took out a HELOC on my primary residence.
All right. And how much was the HELOC for?
I found a HELOC that was 100% loan to value. I ended up getting, due to some natural and forced appreciation of my personal residence, I was able to get one for $100,000.
Okay.
So that was really cool. It took a while to find a lender that would do that. But once I did, it was a pretty easy process.
Let's talk about that a little bit, and then we'll go to 4. Natural and forced appreciation on your primary residence. What did you buy it for? And I assume it appraised for $100,000, right? Since it was 100%.
Well, they allowed me to go up to 100%. So I was at about 80% with my primary mortgage.
Got it. Yep.
So the HELOC covered that other 20%.
Okay. So you got $20,000.
No, sorry. So basically my balance due on my mortgage was about $240,000.
Okay.
My home appraised for $340,000.
Understood. Every other person who's on this listening was understanding it except for me. So it was my bad. Got it. So you have $100,000 line of credit, and you had a mortgage on it, and the line of credit allowed you to go up to 100% of the loan to value. You had, in this case, it was like 240 to 340, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, cool. I'm with you. So you said that there was forced appreciation. What did you do?
So with my construction background, I've kind of utilized that to do a lot of, and I know it's more difficult to do forced appreciation for a single family home, but we've done a lot of upgrades around our house that really helped when we got it appraised. We basically got it appraised for the highest dollar per square foot in the neighborhood, essentially.
Nice job.
So that's how we forced it. And then with natural.
But let's talk specifics. What exactly did you do at that house to force the appreciation?
A lot of basics, paint, updating light fixtures, new baseboard, that kind of stuff goes a long way. We also completely redid the backyard, redid the bathrooms. I'd say overall, we probably put $30,000 or $40,000 into it, and we got every bit of that back in the appraisal.
How much did you buy it for?
$275,000.
You bought it for $275,000, and how much did you put into it? Would you say approximately $30,000?
Let's say $35,000.
Okay. And I apologize. You just said 30. So 30 to 35. Got it. So you put in about 30, 35, and you bought it for 270 what?
275.
275. So quick math, 305, and it appraised for 340.
Yeah.
And some of that was the neighborhood appreciating over the period of time that you owned it. And then another part of it was just being the best house in the neighborhood. And the proof in the pudding is it was valued at a higher price per square foot than any other home in the neighborhood.
Essentially, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, congratulations on that. And you said that finding a lender to give you a HELOC for 100% of the loan to value was challenging. And I'd like to know, and I'm sure a lot of listeners would, how did you find that lender?
So most lenders want to go up to 80% max. There's some that would go up to 90%. Honestly, I used Google and just kept calling, and this credit union in San Diego happened to have a 100% LTV program. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's others out there, but this mm-hmm. is the only one I was able to find that would lend to a property in California.
How many phone calls did you make?
Dozens. I spent probably a couple weeks because I knew they were out there. I had heard of it, but it's one thing to know that it's out there, but it's another thing to actually find it. Mm-hmm. So I'd say I spent a couple weeks just Googling and calling, and then I found it, and it was super easy from there. I've referred them to quite a few people now.
There's a difference in your case. It's easy math. There's a difference between if it's 90%, $10,000. If it was 80%, then it was $20,000, right?
Yeah.
So you got that line of credit, and then what did you do with the line of credit? And I understand that we're still going through your five-step process, but I'd love to hear what you did exactly with that $100K once you had access to it.
I essentially used that to buy my first rental. So using a HELOC when you're buying a property, it's essentially same as cash. Mm-hmm. So I used that to purchase my first rental in Columbus outright.
Okay. And what are the numbers on that? Purchase price, renovation costs, what's it rent for? What's the value of it?
The first one's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath with a garage that we found on the MLS. They were asking 65, and this was actually on day one of looking for a property. So I just by chance got lucky. They were asking 65, and my realtor said, hey, this one's going to go fast. If you want it, you should probably offer a little more. So we offered 71. They accepted the next morning. Rehab was about 18,000, and it appraised for about 107,000 once I refinanced it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You say 6 months later. Okay, got it. 6 months later, you're done with the rehabs, and it appraises for about 10, 15K more than what you're all in at?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Congratulations on that right out of the gate. It's day one of looking on the MLS, and you're making not only your offer, but you're making an offer higher than what's being asked for the property. Any thoughts in your head going on at the time? Like, wait a second. What's going on? What am I doing here? I'm making an offer day one of looking. One, am I jumping the gun? Then two, listen, I see that you want $65,000 seller, but I'm going to hook you up with $71,000. Like, any alarm bells going off? It ended up being a good deal, it sounds like, but were any internal dialogue that you had about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it can be nerve-wracking to buy something that really I've never seen, right? My realtor, he's fantastic. He walks through it and sends me a very detailed video as he walks through the property and kind of points everything out. And then we come up with a rehab budget. But ultimately, you've got to be prepared to just kind of make that decision on the spot. If you overanalyze everything and overthink it, you're never going to knock out that first deal and you're never going to get to that second deal. So eventually I had to take that leap of faith and realize that I'm dealing with a realtor that I had known at that point for at least a month. He has fantastic reviews on Zillow, Realtor, anywhere you can check. He's got 5 stars with hundreds of reviews and dozens of recent sales. So at some point you've got to realize that somebody with that kind of a reputation is most likely not going to risk that reputation to make a couple thousand bucks on a commission, right? Mm-hmm. And not to say it doesn't happen, but that was kind of my thought process, that at some point I have to trust that his advice is solid and my research is solid, and just got to take that leap of faith. And I knew the market was hot and I wanted that first deal. And at 71, I knew it was still a good deal.
Earlier you said we. When you said we were looking at the MLS, was that you and your real estate agent, or was that you and your business partner, significant other?
My agent.
Your agent. Okay. And are you single?
No, I'm married.
So what was the conversation like with your significant other? Hey, I'm going to look at properties today. Oh, I'm going to buy a property. Oh, I'm going to make an offer more than what's being asked for this property. And as you know, we're going to use the equity we have built up in this house to purchase it.
So it's a crazy process, especially buying it with HELOC or essentially cash. You sign everything over DocuSign, essentially. It's not like a typical mortgage where you have a notary. So it's crazy. You're buying a house and you're just doing these electronic signatures, right? It's a crazy process. And she trusted me. I had done a lot of research and she knew that I kind of knew what I was looking at. And I'd found the best realtor I could essentially find, who owns dozens of his own rental properties. So the rental property is nothing new to him. And eventually she trusted me and I trusted the process and I trusted my agent and we just kind of went for it.
Step one, learning. Two, identify strategy. Step three, identifying where or how you're going to fund the property. What's step four?
So step four was where I found the market. I've had a lot of new investors reach out to me on bigger pockets, especially saying this is where I can tell they get stuck and they get stuck in analysis paralysis. And in my opinion, a lot of times they overanalyze this part, identifying a market. I've heard people say they identified thousands of markets and this and that. And to me, that's more important the bigger you go. But for a single family home, I think you just need to stick to some of the basics. Because in reality, that home is surrounded by other property owners. And you can do all the research in the world, but nobody knows exactly what that neighborhood's going to look like in 20 years. You don't have the kind of control that you would with like an apartment complex, right? Mm-hmm. So I tried to stick to the basics. Priority number one was price to rent ratio. So I wanted that strong cash flow. So I started just basically networking and doing some basic research to identify where are people talking about the cash flow is. And then I would kind of follow up by just looking at some basic data of what are homes selling for and what are they renting for. And then of course, overall, you want to look for good employment and population data. You obviously don't want it to be dependent on one industry. And so Columbus seemed to be strong in that aspect. I wasn't too concerned about long-term appreciation right now. And in the Midwest, typically you're not going to find that as much. So from there, I kind of narrowed it down to 5 or 10 markets pretty easily. And finally, just kind of picked one and jumped in. I was looking for neighborhoods with low crime, B minus to C ratings. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to be all in for under 100,000.
Now, one follow-up question I should have asked you about that property that you bought with the home equity line of credit. I asked you the numbers. We talked about how much you bought it for, how much you put into it. You bought it for 65. You put in about 18K, what it appraised for afterwards. But what's it rent for?
It rents for $1,150, and it's a good neighborhood. The renters that I'm getting, they work for banks and solid jobs like that. So it's a cash-on-cash return, plus or minus 28%. After expenses, I'm cash flowing about $350.
Amazing. That is a good cash flow. So how do you think about that with your line of credit? Because you did buy it all cash. So if you look at, hey, I'm making, say, $350 on that amount of out-of-pocket, your cash-on-cash return out of, from that standpoint, is not as strong as if you had leverage.
Yeah, so that doesn't take into account that the money came from a HELOC.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, but that's a great point.
Any plans to refinance that out into a loan and get access to HELOC money again?
Well, no, I guess I never explained. So when I refinanced it 6 months, I then paid off the HELOC.
Ah, got it. Okay, cool. Good.
Yeah. So during that 6 months, I was putting my own cash, paying off the HELOC to the point where when I refinanced, essentially my HELOC was whole again.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, I did have essentially my own cash in the deal. It ended up being about 12 or 13,000 overall. So at 25, 28% cash on cash, I'm pretty happy with that.
I think everyone would be pretty happy with that. Nice work. So what are the numbers on all three of the properties? We talked about the first one, so we don't have to talk about the first one.
Yeah, so what's funny, you asked about, was it nerve-wracking buying more than they were asking? That was actually my best deal. So the second and third are pretty close. But the second one, again, we found it on the MLS. They were asking $69.5, and we bought it for $69.5. Put about $17,000 into it. I'm refinancing it now, and it should appraise for about $110,000. And I've got a renter in there for $11.25. And again, cash flow after expenses, it's about $350 a month.
And the third one?
And the third one, that one's a little trickier. So all three of these are three bedroom, one bath. This one we got from a wholesaler. He was asking 80. We bought it for 77.5. It's occupied and I've had to put about $1,000 or so into it. They needed a new fridge and some smaller repairs. I'm refinancing that as well. And it should appraise for about 100. My problem there, and I've realized how difficult it is to take over an occupied property, he was only paying $580 a month and market rent's about $1,000. They're on a fixed income, so I'm trying to raise it slowly, hopefully to $800 or so shortly, and then I'll try to kind of raise it at 10% or so after that per year. So once I get it up to market rent, I'll hopefully cash flow about $300 a month, but right now I'm kind of breaking even.
Three bedroom, one bath for all three of them. Why that setup instead of, say, four bedroom, two bath?
We've put in offers on some four bedroom, two bath, and I think the cash flow would be even better. Just haven't been successful yet. For some reason in this area in Columbus, there's a substantial amount of three bedroom, one bath homes, which I'm not used to as much. At least it seems like in California, you see a lot of three bedroom, two bath. But yeah, that's just kind of the hot spot right now, what we've been successful with.
What's step five of your strategy? Steps one, learn. Two, identify strategy. Three, funding. Four, market. Five.
So five is finding the team. So that's where I found my real estate agent. One of my favorite quotes from David Green, rock stars know rock stars. And that couldn't be more true, at least from my experience. So my agent introduced me to a great lender. And then I've also been introduced through other investors to a good property manager that I've recently hired. And it's been good.
You found the agent through what method?
Essentially just on Zillow. I said, I'm going to go ahead and just try to call the highest rated guy I can find and go from there. So Zillow shows you who has the most recent sales and the highest ratings in the area. And he kept popping up. So I said, he probably won't be able to take me on right now, but I'll give him a call. And we just kind of clicked and I had a good strategy in mind and he saw that and he kind of had a good idea of what I was looking for and it worked out great.
Based on your experience, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
I would say don't overthink it when starting out. Think of the first few properties as a learning experience and look for base hits. I wouldn't say any of my deals have been home runs, but the amount I've learned is unbelievable and my cash flow is stronger than expected. If I'd been waiting for the perfect deal, I'd probably still have zero properties right now.
Based on what you've learned, how would you approach deal number one differently if presented the exact same thing now?
I don't know that I would change deal number one. I think it's funny enough, but I think
deal number three, the tenant.
Where I could use some. Deal number one, I think the biggest thing was a 6-month seasoning for the cash out refi. I've since done a lot of research and figured out a way around that.
How?
From what I'm told is essentially you put the rehab price on the settlement statement. You put it on the purchase side, on the seller side. Because when you do a cash out refi, essentially you can refinance out what you purchased it for. So if you put the rehab on the purchase side, you can refinance out the purchase price and the rehab. That's yet to be done, but on my next purchase, that's what I'm hoping to do so that I can refinance it out as soon as I finish rehab.
We're doing a lightning round. Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yeah.
Now let's do it. First, quick word from our best ever partners.
Groundbreaker helps you increase productivity and investor satisfaction by automating fundraising, reporting, and investor relations through elegant and powerful workflows built by syndicators for syndicators. Go to groundbreaker.co/Joe. That's groundbreaker.co/Joe to get a free deal pitch deck template.
Bob Malecki and his team at Resolution Capital Management partner with individuals to invest in distressed residential mortgage notes. If you're interested in doing a joint venture with them, where basically you invest alongside with them and share in a portion of the profits based on how well that individual project goes, then go to rcm.company/JV. That's rcm.company/JV.
Best ever book you've recently read?
Funny enough, when I got asked to do this podcast, I had just finished your book, Best Ever Apartment Syndication Book. It was fantastic.
Glad to hear that. What is the best ever way you like to give back to the community?
I've been networking a lot recently, sharing the numbers for my first three deals with new investors. And a lot of them have reached out to me, private messaged me, and I've been trying to give back in that way.
On that note, how can the best ever listeners learn more about what you're doing and get in touch with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or even preferably just email me, tcaglia@gmail.com.
Tyler, thanks so much for being on the show, talking about your five-step process for how you get started and put idea to actually action. And then the lessons you've learned on each of the three purchases, how you got creative, and quite frankly, just you make it happen with what you want to do, from Google searching and continuing to call the credit unions till you find one that is what you're looking for with the line of credit, to just taking a very practical approach of, hey, I'm going to find the best agent rated on Zillow, and I'm going to call him or her, and I'm going to try and work with them. Like, it makes a lot of sense. It's very practical and logical, but you also have to have persistence, and you clearly show that. So thanks for being on the show. Hope you have the best ever day. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.